Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, December 28th, 2017, and with me today I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
Hey, man. I don't know. I'm going to fall back on my, you know, mostly forward, sometimes a little sideways.
Nothing like getting a little jiggy with it. I'm assuming that's where you're going with that.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Kelly Gaumont, how are you?
Well, I was good until I had to think about Brian getting jiggy with it. Now I'm not sure.
You know, I've seen him on stage.
This is true. As have I.
Macworld All-Stars.
And yeah, never got jiggy with it on stage.
No, but you looked cool and you looked like at any moment you're about to break loose. And
you have verged on jiggy the walls in public.
Yeah. Okay.
You're both verging on jiggy. Yes.
Very kind.
Verging on jiggy. All right. So since it's the end of the year and we're talking about favorite things, top things from the year, and we've done different categories each day. Today, I want to talk about the top Apple hardware announcements for the year. And so I'll start right off with the iMac Pro. I mean, that's the easy one, so we'll just get it out of the way. And the reason I consider this to be one of Apple's big announcements for 2017 is because this is the first, in my opinion, really tangible thing that Apple's handed us to say, yeah, look, we really are serious about continuing to develop the Mac, even though we're looking at issues that have some people annoyed, you know, like upgradability. Some people aren't happy with the price points. But when you look at this computer and the horsepower it has, what it's capable of, and the fact that Apple said we're going to ship it before the end of the year, and people have these in hand today. Now, granted, mm-hmm. they haven't had them for 24 full hours yet, in most cases, but they are in hand today. To me, that was a really good, big step towards showing that the Mac has not been relegated to the back of the design lab.
You know what else would have been a good sign
for that? Do tell.
A door on the back of the iMac Pro. A door. Just a door.
And where does this door go, Brian? Narnia?
No, it would have gone to the upgradable RAM and hard drive. That's okay. It, right? I mean, Apple went out of its way to redesign the back of this without a door, because the thing that it's based on has a door. Okay, the RAM, at least.
Brian, take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath out. It'll be okay. So here's... I'm with you on this. I'm not quite as agitated about it as you are, but I'm totally with you on this. And the reason for that is because the first time we got Macs that were super upgradable, or more to the point, obviously and intendedly upgradable, was the G3, where you pop the little lever on the side and the whole side just flops open and there is your whole computer sitting on the table. It was beautiful. It was amazing. It was such a great thing to see. I remember our local reseller got one in and had it on the floor. And I remember I called them every day for like 2 weeks because I just wanted to see one in person. And they finally got one. They called me. They were like, "Hi, Kelly, it's here." And I went in and I'm like, "Can I?" And they were like, "Okay." And so I got to pull the little ring and then flap the thing open. And we all went, "Ooh," like just for a second. And it was super duper great. And
what's your point?
Well, Apple did that on purpose so that people could swap out components. So I'm with you on this being a very confusing move for them to actively make it not upgradable.
No,
but
go out of their way to make a new back that doesn't have the thing that it's based on has.
Right.
Just a door.
Right, which I find... Way.
They spent extra money.
Confusing.
They actually spent extra money to make this not have a door. They spent more money.
Right.
They dedicated more design dollars and more engineering dollars to take the door off.
But here's the good thing about this machine to me. Aside from the fact that they said it would be shipping in in this year, and it is this year, and they have shipped. Aside from that, this is the first, I think this is probably, as best I can tell, this is the first update with Pro in the name that has made a significant difference since we got the round iMac, the round Mac Pros. And those are what, 3 years old?
Four.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it was three, but in four years, this is the first time there's been a significant upgrade to anything had Pro right in the name. So I'm glad they did it. Although I'm with you on being completely confused as to why this is how it is.
The iMac Pro itself is great. I mean, like from a, you know, the horsepower, the pricing is fine with me. It's certainly in line with,
well, you're getting what you pay
trying
for.
Trying to build your own PC along the same lines, if it's going to, you know, look like butt and not run Mac OS without having to Hackintosh it. And so, I mean, like, I don't have an issue with the problems. It looks glorious. I love the space gray finish. You know, I'm super delighted with the machine. It's just befuddling, this whole lack of
the doors, Brian. After seeing OWC's teardown and we'll move on after this, because there's other announcements that will probably be less triggering. On the iMac Pro, to have the doors, and I'm not tossing this out as an excuse, just tossing it out so people are aware of this, to have doors to replace the RAM and the SSDs, that would actually be four doors. Because of where the memory sits on the motherboard, it's two banks of two DIMMs, and they are at opposite ends of the board.
Then have four doors.
And for the SSD, it's actually two SSDs that are put together in a RAID, and they sit on either side of the processor. So now you have, so you'd have four doors, one for each of the banks of RAM and one for each of the SSDs.
Well, now we know why.
Good enough for a 57 Chevy, good enough for my iMac Pro. That's what I'm saying.
It's an iMac coupe, four not doors. An iMac sedan.
No, it's not. It's an iMac. You can't get in it. So go.
It's not an iMac sedan, Brian.
All right. So, Brian, since I would like to say unintentionally triggered you with my pick.
You did not unintentionally trigger me.
That was all kinds of intention. I could tell from here.
You had like a 10-foot pole, and then you just like started like poking me with it, like just poke, 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 poke.
Yeah, I kind of did. All right, so I'm going to let you, if you would like, toss out what you think one of the top announcements for Apple for hardware announcements was.
iPhone 10.
Okay.
Yeah, it's bold. It takes iPhone in a, you know, it's funny. I actually included iPhone 10 as one of my top software announcements.
I saw that. And
because of what it represents and all.
Yeah. So I consider that poetic license.
But the hardware itself, the device itself, I love my 10. I love the way it works. Good riddance home button. I'm fine without Touch ID. Face ID is working just great for me. Screen is glorious. It's fast. I mean, I love this thing. My favorite iPhone to date, by a lot.
So, Brian, in my list that I'll be publishing after we finish recording, I chose part of the iPhone 10 as an announcement. I chose the
dock.
Yeah. No, I chose the true depth camera.
Okay. That's kind of part and parcel of my broader answer, but okay.
I really thought you would have picked the iPhone 10 socks.
You know, if they had come with the same white stripe that we got for the iPod socks, then yeah, totally. And there's a handful of people that are like, I get that joke.
And we love you for it.
Yes. So the true depth camera, I chose that out of the iPhone 10 because I see that as a revolutionary change for Apple hardware, because we're going to see the home button going away on more products. We're going to see more things happening with this camera than just doing the Face ID thing. And we're already seeing many things and developers coming up with some really cool uses for that camera. So I expect that the true depth camera is going to be something that becomes so important to how we use our iPhones and then eventually our iPads that it earned its place as a standalone announcement independent of the iPhone X.
It's imagine, by the way, when they put true depth cameras on the back and they could be used for augmented reality.
I don't think they're going to put true depth cameras on the back, but they're going to give us 3D sensing.
They could use that technology.
I think that technology is better for close-up. I think they're going to use a laser system on the back. That's my hunch.
Could be.
But yeah, I'm totally with you. 3D sensing for the rear-facing camera is going to be so useful for augmented reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, Kelly, do you have a top Apple announcement, hardware announcement?
Well, for me, it's probably an iPhone camera, but it's the rear-facing camera, the one in the 8 Plus and in the 10. It's sort of a combination announcement, and it's because of the capability that particular camera has allows you to do the portrait lighting and all of those additional effects, live in the camera to be able to add, to do the portrait lighting and the different effects that you can apply. Mm-hmm. And, studio lighting, I think, is the other one. There's a few of them, and they're pretty great. And, I really like the possibilities of that because I think the camera upgrades every year, like that's most of why I'm always excited to upgrade, is because I get a better camera. And even in my 8, I have a really, like, just in the Mirror Mortal 8, like not the Plus, nothing special like that. It's a really great camera. I took it to Disneyland and the low light camera is better. Like every time I go to Disneyland with a new phone, that's like the first thing I do is go try taking pictures with the flash off in a bunch of different rides and things. And the pictures get better every time. I have probably like a photo album, if I went back through photos of all of like the same picture in Pirates of the Caribbean on like 5 or 6 different phones now. And it's really interesting to watch that evolution, but also it's one of the things that I think is almost, I know it doesn't sound like it, but it's almost a stealth feature of the phone that when you upgrade, you, on a fundamental level, you are automatically taking better pictures, whether or not you've, done any sort of photography learning, in order to teach yourself to take better pictures. On a fundamental level, that picture is nicer now because you're capturing more information, your sensor is better, your pictures have more depth and more detail, and you're able to get more out of the scene that you're seeing. And what I have now is pretty close to what I see with my eye in a room or whatever when I take that photo. And so I think that the camera stuff is continuing to evolve is probably the most surprising thing, because if you had told people even at iPhone 3G or 3GS, when we finally got video, that we could finally shoot video on an iPhone, if you had told those people who were, people like me waiting in line for a 3GS, that yes, as a matter of fact, at some point, not only will this shoot video that will look amazing on a 65-inch television, but also like it will do all of these other things for you as part of being the camera in your pocket, like those people in line would still be laughing now, and it's so like, to me, it's the continuing camera evolution. So announcing those additional effects and the ability to apply those either in the camera or even after the fact, which I know is a software feature, but having that capability and the horsepower to be able to do that with something that you carry around in your pocket is really amazing. I've never had a point and shoot camera or a pro camera, that would allow me to do that.
All right. Okay. So another one for me, and this one may surprise some people, it's opening up HomeKit. And so, Brian, I look at this the same way you look at the iPhone X in your software list.
Open as Balderdash, you mean?
As very clever.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Right. The other. Okay. Got it.
Yes.
Got it.
Okay. So opening up HomeKit, the reason this qualifies to me as a hardware announcement is because what Apple did when they opened up HomeKit, they made it possible for people to design their own HomeKit compatible devices without having to get the certification from Apple. So now people and developers have the ability to design these new smart home devices that maybe no one else would have thought of or have ever designed if they had been operating under the restrictions that we had with HomeKit prior to this opening thing. So, and then of course, if it turns into something commercial, then they still go ahead and get that certification from Apple. But at that point, they're probably totally ready for that anyhow. So to me, this was a huge thing for the HomeKit smart home device market. And I'm really excited to see the things that come out of that. So, Brian, do you have anything else you want to toss out?
Hardware wise, we actually got a lot of hardware announcements this year, which is great, mm-hmm. which is terrific, which makes me really happy. Like, for instance, I want to call getting an update to the MacBook Pro a mere 9 months after the MacBook Pro had been updated just like one of the most delicious things of 2017.
That was pretty right? cool.
I mean, you know, like Apple during the course of making Apple Park a thing, Apple stopped making new products, it seemed like. You know, 2016 was miserable, 2015 wasn't all that great, and this year we saw Apple return to making new hardware products or iterating hardware products, and that was super exciting and perhaps nowhere more so than getting an update to the MacBook Pro only 9 months after the MacBook Pro had last been updated. That was just like that. That's a return to the kind of schedule that Apple kept like clockwork for years, 9 to 12 months.
Yeah, it was really cool seeing that update or that refresh.
So it's not so much the content itself of the update because it was relatively minor. It's the fact that it was iterated. It's the fact that new processors were put in it and, you know, and some other minor components were updated. That's just, I mean, like as computer users, that's what we want. We want to be able to buy the latest and greatest and not, you know, what was latest and greatest 4 years ago, mm-hmm. 3 years ago or 2 years ago.
Yep.
A year and a half ago, even.
I will totally accept that as a big announcement. Yeah. And I was really happy to see that new Mac come out or MacBook Pro come out, even though I had gotten mine in December. So mine was still within its non-AppleCare Plus warranty window, and the new model came out, which for some people would be cause to get really pissed off. But I was actually really excited because I loved seeing refreshes that were coming in windows of time that we count in months as opposed to years.
Yep.
All right. We have a couple minutes left. Kelly, do you have any other top announcements that are standing out for you?
Well, I have a couple that stand out, but not for its bigness, but for its smallness. And that's Apple Watch Bands. They keep coming out with new colors, new styles. This year we got the new sport one with the Velcro that's not supposed to go fuzzy on you. And so far I know people who have them who say that it hasn't. So I've been interested to watch sort of the band evolution as that has happened. And it's nice to see that they're still coming out with them and it's not like, you know, we made six colors. What more do you people want from us? So that's been interesting to see. Like every time they have a watch announcement, it's like, oh, and by the way, there's four new bands or whatever. And I've really enjoyed watching that. I think not necessarily the biggest because this was the year of iPhone 10, but one that is going to end up being big later is the 4K Apple TV. Because a lot of people, because, you know, I know not everybody's John Martellaro and like slobbering, you know, waiting with bated breath for all this time to get something 4K. But I think as people who were on the first wave of flat panels are and high definition televisions are upgrading and ending up with 4K TVs and ending up with more 4K content, the 4K Apple TV is going to be a thing that a lot of people start upgrading to. It's not super expensive, and it's a great way to get a boost to the content that you have and being able to get that stuff, you know, viewable in a really good way. And it's a really good conduit for that. So for people who are already buying stuff on iTunes and maybe have a lot of stuff there already, I think this is a thing that is going to end up having more impact as more people are looking at 4K content and how they can view it and display it. So in the next year or perhaps two, I think that's going to end up being one of the big things that Apple did, because it was also nice to see the 4K Apple TV, much like seeing the iMac Pro. Like, oh yeah, you know, you've been telling me forever that this is a thing you actually cared about was Pro users or Apple TV. Like, it's not a hobby anymore. So actually getting an update to it was one of those things that they can sort of point at and go, see, we told you, like, we really did mean it when we took it, that we took it seriously. So, you know, I have a lot of thoughts about the Apple TV itself, but the fact that they released another one this year, that we got a new model, that it's something that's going to be useful for people, you know, future-proofed sort of going forward, I think is a thing
future,
to watch.
Future-proof? What do you mean future-proofed?
Well, I mean, short-term future-proof. Like if I go buy a TV today. Short-term
future-proofed as in, like, not future-proofed.
So, well, all right. I mean, because I don't know what's coming down. I don't know what's coming after 4K. Like, they tried, the TV people tried 3D and it didn't take. Holy, so now howdy. They're going with 4K. So I don't know what the thing is that's going to come after 4K to make people buy new televisions. But 8K. A lot of them are going to be 4K televisions, like, at least in the near term. So for the next, I would say 3 years or so, as 4K becomes more common, both in viewing and in content.
Listen, how about I put that another way? Like, a year late, but better late than never.
Yes, exactly.
I shouldn't laugh. I only encourage you.
Well, so the thing that's frustrating about it is that it's 4K, which makes it the fifth generation Apple TV, because the fourth generation Apple TV was the one before it that got the App Store. But the one that came before it was only like a year and change old when they released the 4K Apple TV. So, I mean, everybody thought the fourth gen Apple TV would be the 4K one, and it wasn't. So, like I said, I have a lot of feelings about it, but I'm glad there is one now. And for people who need to check that box or want an easy upgrade to 4K content and an easy way to view some of that stuff, this is going to be a good way to do that. So I think it's going to end up being more impactful over time than perhaps it was this year.
All right. Well, we're out of time.
I like how optimistic you are. You're such a nicer person than me, Kelly.
That's so sweet of you to say that, Brian.
I didn't say I wasn't frustrated about it. We'll stop recording and I'll tell you a lot more about the 4K Apple TV. But in the short term, I think, like I said, I think it's going to be more impactful as 2018. Well,
I think everyone continues. Now wants to hear all the stuff you're going to say off camera.
I'm afraid that it will just be this stream of beeps because I'll have to do so many edits.
No, it is frustrating for exactly the reason that I told you already. Like, you know, the fourth gen Apple TV should have been the 4K Apple TV. Like, yeah, you gave us the App Store and that was great, but why isn't it 4K? And so now if you want 4K and you bought one last summer, like this summer there was a new one and that was sort of aggravating. And I get that it seems like Apple kind of blew it, but that's part of why I'm trying to be optimistic about its long-term prospects, because it does show me that they do care about the Apple TV and that they probably just couldn't get the 4K right initially. And so now there is a 4K Apple TV. It still has an App Store. It will do all of the things that my fourth gen Apple TV will do. But I don't have any need for 4K right now, so it's not necessarily the choice for me. But when you do get a 4K television and you have to look at, you know, upgrading all of your content and stuff, one easy way to do that is going to be with an Apple TV. So if you have an Apple TV and just want to upgrade it, it's a really smart decision if you go in the next, you know, 12 to 24 months or whatever and start TV shopping.
All right. We're like way over time. And yet I'm about to take us a little bit farther because I'm going to end up being Brian-ish on this one. I think that that there's absolutely no reason whatsoever why the fourth gen Apple TV couldn't have been 4K. I don't think there's anything about Apple, I'm doing air quotes, getting it right. I think this was all about Apple losing their focus on product development, and they just totally let the Apple TV slide. And so they ended up coming out way too late with a new model. Yep. Even though it's nice, this is what they should have released instead of the Apple TV 4.
Yep. But I am glad it's here.
I'm glad it's here too.
You know, to Kelly's too kind point, I'm glad it's here. Otherwise, I agree with what you just said.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's the simplest explanation. So that's probably what happened. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. All right. I'm cutting us off because we're way over time. All right. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Bye.
Listeners, I'm so glad that you're here, and I can't wait to hear what you think should have been on our top hardware announcement list that wasn't. So shoot me emails. That'll be observations@macobserver.com. Leave comments in the show notes, or shoot me a message on Twitter. That would be @TMODaily. And thanks for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.